Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And I trust that God is keeping, watching over your life, protecting, sustaining you in all things. And we carry on with the word of God. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we started looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are given by the Spirit of God for the believers. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are divine empowerments that are given by grace. They are given at the discretion of the Holy Spirit. They are given by the anointing, by the Spirit of God. And they have a function. So anointings or gifts of the Holy Spirit have specific functions in the body of Christ. And whenever we receive them, God has given them for a purpose, and he will expect an accounting for it. Remember, we are seeing that the manifestation of the Spirit, this manifestation, that means the actual evidence, the actual, you know, unveiling of the Holy Spirit is through the gifts that he gave us. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So each and every believer has been given a gift, at a minimum, one gift of the Holy Spirit. But if you examine yourself, you will find that God has never been unjust. He has given you and I multiple gifts, many gifts. But unless we stir up the gift, unless we fan into flame the gift that is given to us through the laying on of hands, then that gift will die. Remember, it is like a fire. The more you blow on a fire, the more it lights up. But the more you cool off, then the more it cools off. So the Holy Spirit is like a fire. He is like a wind. He is like oil. He is like water. You know, there are various symbols. He is like the dove. There are various symbols that are used for the Holy Spirit. But in our lives, one of the things that you will see is that he chooses to manifest himself. And we're able to see that, you know, there are diversities. There are diversities of gifts, but it is the same Spirit. There are the differences of ministries or differences of administration, but it is the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities or diversities of operations, but it is the same God who works all in all. Verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So it is the Holy Spirit that gives each and every person a unique gifting. But this gifting is given for the profit of everyone. That means for the profit of the body. That is why your hand is there to help you scratch your back. That is why your eye is there to help you see ahead. I mean, to protect yourself from danger. That's why your chest is there, your rib cage is there, to protect your heart. You see, there is a principle of interdependence in the body of Christ. So God, in his own sovereignty, has ensured that not everyone, not one person has all these gifts. But you can have. I mean, there is no limit with God. It actually depends on how much you drink or how much you desire, because God has never limited anyone from how much they drink. God brings you to the river. It is you that decides how much of the river that you want to take in. Remember, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to drink. And out of his belly, out of your own belly, out of your own inner man, out of your own desires, out of your own depth shall flow rivers of living water. So those rivers are streams, they are manifestations, they are expressions of the Holy Spirit. And God is able to release as much as you demand on him. You know, the anointing follows the demand. It follows the demand in the Spirit. When the demand in the Spirit is high, then you will see the anointing flowing. So today yesterday we were also able to classify these nine gifts into three. They're gifts of revelation. Now the gifts of revelation are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits, or the distinguishing of spirits. Then we have the gifts of power. Now, the gifts of powers, or the gifts of power, this is faith. That's the gift of faith. Then we have the gift of working of miracles. And then we have the gifts of healings. Then we have the third classification, which is the gift of speech, or which is the vocal gift. And here we have the gifts of tongues, the gifts of interpretation of tongues, and we have the gift of prophecy. So we've been able to look so far at the three gifts of revelation, which is the gift of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. And we say that the word of knowledge is information, informative. It gives you insight into something you did not know by studying or by natural means, but it is something that is known to you supernaturally. It is revealed. Something that was hidden is made bare. Then the word of wisdom is direction. The Bible tells us wisdom is profitable to direct. Ecclesiastes. Wisdom is profitable to direct. So wisdom, the gift of wisdom, is there for direction. If you find that God, you easily know what to do. You're very efficient with your work. You're very efficient in things. I mean, God just releases a certain grace that you, by his Spirit, you just know what to do. There's a specific action that needs to be done. And when the gift of wisdom manifests in the church, it brings unity, it brings healing, it brings divine speed. Because, you know, speed is important when you have direction. When you know the direction that you're going, then speed is important. So what we are saying is that there's a gift of word of knowledge and word of wisdom, and we said those two are a word. So that means God might not give you the full picture, because the full picture might be too much. God, think of Joseph. God just gave him a dream of the future, just a sneak preview, but he did not show him that he was going through prison. He was going to be betrayed by his brothers. He was going to be accused falsely. God did not show him that. So God always gives us a part. The Bible tells us that we know in part, but when the Spirit comes, when the time comes, we shall know in full as we are fully known. So everything that we have on the earth as of now is just a part of it. It's just a part of the bigger picture. God is the wholeness of it. And through the Holy Spirit, who searches the deep things of God, he is able to make known to us the mind of God. So the word of wisdom is directive, direction, unique direction. Do this. Then we've also looked at the discerning of spirits, which we were able to see yesterday. And this is where you must be able to know that we have a spiritual world, a world of spirits around us. And you will interact with human spirits. You will interact with the Holy Spirit himself. You are going to interact with angels who are ministering spirits. And then you are also going to interact with evil spirits, or demons and unclean spirits and his agents. And you need to be able to distinguish this. You need to be able, by the word of God and by the Spirit of God, to have discernment of spirits, to know the hearts of men. Jesus knew, knowing their hearts. Jesus would know the hearts of people. He would know what's really in their heart, and was able to give them guidance based on his discernment. You know, he could see what was wrong with the young man. He could see how Nathanael's heart was. He could see how the heart of the crowd was. He could see what was in Peter, what was in Judas. That is discernment of spirits. He could say, "Get behind me, Satan." And one more. So, discernment of spirits is very important. And remember, it is discernment. The word, you know, as I said, the Holy Spirit is very keen about the words that are used. So it does not necessarily mean seeing with your eyes physically, but it actually means discernment. So that means that because the Holy Spirit is a spirit, all spirits are not material. Yes, there's a point where God can open your spiritual eyes to see, and that is in order. But 90% or majority of the times, it will be by discernment. You can sense, even you as a person, you can sense whenever there is angelic presence. When you pray, when you're praying, when you're in a room, you can know even when there is an evil spirit, because there is a discernment that God will give you. And by that discernment, you are supposed to be able to stand firm. Now, today, as I said, we are going to start on the gifts of power. And the first gift of power that we shall look at is the gift of faith. What is the gift of faith? The gift of faith is, you know, first of all, starting with faith, we say that faith, you know, from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So faith is actually a belief system. It's actually an evidence. It's a substance of heaven that God gives you, that by which you stand your ground, by which you can see the spiritual and believe it for the physical. So when you say you believe in God who is not seen, but you have an assurance within you, you have an evidence that God is there and that God has spoken something through his voice, through you, and has given you that deep conviction, then that is faith. So faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, whenever we think of faith, you have to think of faith in three aspects. In the New Testament, you think of faith in three aspects. There is the faith by which we live by. What does that mean? There is that faith that saves you. When you say we are saved by grace through faith, it is that faith in God that brings you into salvation, and it is that faith by which you live, you know, or by which you continue in your walk with God. You see, when the Bible says it is by grace you have been saved through faith, so when you put your hope in Jesus, that he died, that his death and his resurrection is what brings you into salvation, into alignment with God, into justification with God, then you receive the faith of God, you receive the faith of Christ, and by that faith you are able to live the Christian walk. The Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. So there is the faith that makes you a believer and helps you to live the Christian life. Then we also have the fruit of faith. Remember, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. So the fruit of faith is ideally a character issue. It's an aspect of the character that these three remain: faith, hope, and love. So the character of the believer is a fruit of faith. That means as you stay by the word of God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you stay by the word of God, then God builds faith in you. But then there is what is now called the gift of faith. And this is what we are looking at today when he says the gifts of power. This is the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, when we say a gift of faith, It is actually a supernatural faith that is above the normal faith of I believe I will succeed in life, is above the normal human level of faith. And this is a gift of faith that is imparted by the Holy Spirit on a person. And this gift of faith enables the person, the man of God or the child of God, to accomplish God's purposes in a given situation. It is like a mustard seed of God's faith that is imparted to you. Now, when we say the gifts of, gifts of power, you must know that the gift of faith is a stepping stone into the gifts of power. That means that in the gifts of power, faith links to miracles and faith links to healings. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. So faith is like the core foundation of walking in healings and walking in the miraculous, because these are gifts that are linked together. So it is the stepping stone. It's the starting place. So when you receive faith, which comes from the Word of God, then something is built up in you to do something. Now, when someone is given this gift of faith, and let me give an example of Paul. Paul is born again. He meets Jesus. Ananias comes and prays for him. His eyes are open. And the Bible says immediately he goes out and starts defending the faith and testifying to the church and to the Jews that Jesus, and proving from the scriptures that Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is the Christ. Now, that kind of faith is looked like madness, because you're saying you're going to build a building, you're going to build a church, and you're starting, and you don't have money. Or you say, I'm going to pray, and you don't have even a starting point, because you're operating on the faith of God. God, when he built, he created this world, he had nothing. But you say, I will do it. And you start, and you say, go for it. Let's check the price. Let's start, check the contract. Let the lawyers look at it. At that point, you don't even have money. But there is a stirring that God has given you. And that is the gift of faith. And that gift of faith even comes for certain moments where you're supposed to give. And God just stirs in you that, give this. That is an impartation that comes in that moment. And the gift of faith enables you to do great works. Now, and one of the things that the gift of faith enables is actually to contend with forces of darkness. Think of Elijah. Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal. And he tells them, look here, let us meet at the mountain. And then I'm going to give you a bull. You set up your altar, sacrifice it, and put it on the altar, and then call on your God. If your God answers by fire, he is God. We shall worship Baal. Then I myself, so let's say he finished. They tried. They cut themselves. They danced to Baal. Nothing happened. Then Elijah does this. He takes the stones. He cuts the sacrifice. At the time of the evening sacrifice, 3 p.m. And remember, that is also the time when Jesus died. So all these things are linked. They are linked. That's why Jesus is a perfect sacrifice. So what does he do? He cuts the animal. He puts it on the altar. After the altar that has been raised by 12 stones. He makes trenches around it. Then he pours water. And that water is symbolic of the Word of God. He pours water. Then he cries out to God. And what does that happen? Fire comes from heaven and consumes the sacrifice and even licks up the water in the trenches. Now, you cannot do that unless God gives you the faith and the gift of faith. Now, whenever you find the gift of faith operating in people, these are people who are going to be walking in miracles. These are people who are going to be casting out devils. These are people who are going to be doing great exploits for the kingdom of God, that people will ask and say, but you, we know you, you are our brother. How is it that you are doing this? Where did you get this power? Remember when they were asking Jesus, but are you not the son of Joseph, the carpenter's son? Are your sisters and your brothers not here with us? Where did you get this much learning? They could not understand the gift of faith working in Jesus. Look at John the Baptist. He has to challenge Herod. Unless God has given you the gift of faith, there are certain battles that you cannot enter. Every church planter, everyone who is leading a successful ministry, there is something that God gave them. That is a gift of faith. That means they see what others are not seeing. They hear what others are not hearing. They do what others cannot do. It is not normal. That is the gift of faith working in your life. People are shaking. People are like, we don't know what to do. Then David asks, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is it that dares defy the armies of the Lord? Now that is the rising. It is like a boiling thing that boils up in you, and you just know you have to move forward. And I assure you, anyone that has learned the voice of God, anyone that has learned to be sensitive, to be obedient to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, because God will not start with you moving mountains. No, it will start with obedience first. In the simple things, he that is faithful with little can be trusted with much. Actually, it starts with he that is faithful in another man's work. God will first give you someone else's, and he will see your heart. He will check your heart. Then he that is faithful in another man's work can be given his own. But when he's given his own, he is given little. He that is faithful in little can be trusted with much. And he that is faithful with much can be trusted with eternal riches, eternal things. There are eternal rewards that are on the bridge or on the level or on the scale of faithfulness. My brothers and sisters, there is a gift of faith that goes beyond just the no ordinary faith. I love this story of Archbishop Benson Idahosa. And the Bible says he was just born again, 21 years old. And he's reading the Bible and he's believing it. So he goes and asks his pastor, "Pastor, my pastor, I read the Bible. It says here that if I pray for the sick shall be healed. If I pray for the dead, I can raise the dead. So can I raise the dead?" Then the pastor says, "Yes, you can." Then he asked the pastor, "Have you raised the dead?" The pastor said, "Me, I have not read. But the word of God says, this sign shall accompany those that believe. If you believe it, you can raise the dead." So he also goes, okay. He now starts looking for a dead body to raise. He goes home from home. Is there a dead body? Is there a dead body here? No. Has someone died here? No. Until in the evening, he found actually a house where there was a child who had died. And then he said, he's very happy. So he goes inside and he starts to pray. He prays and he raises the child, wakes up. And the next day he wakes up again and starts looking for another dead body. And he finds a house and he raises the dead. Now, that is just a young believer. But God has already given them the gift of faith. But you see, the gift of faith is a product of hearing the word of God. Faith comes, Romans 10:10. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there is a place where you must know the word. You must hear the word, and that word must be made flesh, must come alive. And then it gives you a different understanding. When someone speaks to a bone, come into order, to ligaments come into order, to muscles and tissues and lymph nodes and hormones to come into order. Where do you think he's speaking from? It is a place of revelation by which he speaks. You go and speak the same, you will not have the same results. It is that gift of faith that is a supernatural impartation of the mustard seed of God. Have the faith of God. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can speak to this mountain, be removed and be cast out into the sea. That means if you have the faith of God, if God imparts in you his heart, his thoughts, his power, if you see things the way God sees, you'll realize nothing is impossible. Now, this is where you start to operate in the gift of faith. The gift of faith, as I said, will step you into miracles. It will step you into operations and into signs and wonders and into healings. These are the gifts of power. Think of Stephen. The Bible says, a man full of faith and of the Spirit. Then he moved into power, full of faith and power. These things are in plain sight. May our eyes be open. May our eyes receive that which God is speaking to us. I pray that God will give you insight into this. And ask him. Ask him. Ask him. Eagerly desire the greater gift. Pray for the anointing. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for clarity. Thank you for your voice. Thank you for guiding us, for speaking to us, for giving us the anointing, releasing grace in place of grace. And I pray for grace this morning. I pray for your word. I pray for the impartation of your word, impartation of faith, faith to overcome. And as we have heard the word of God today, I speak, I release faith. I release impartation. I release grace over your people. Indeed, anyone that has been held back by deception, by chains, I break them in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I speak a clarity of mind. We remove those strongholds in the mind, those things that are still blocking people from knowing who they are, from walking in the graces and in the anointings that God has called them to walk in. I remove every blinding force. Let the scales fall, oh God. Let faith be imparted. Let faith be imparted. Let the faith of God be planted in our hearts to do exploits. They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits for the kingdom of God. I thank you that you are raising up sons and daughters all over the world who shall hear this and take heed and walk in faith. Thank you for the gift of faith working in us. May we see as you see, hear as you hear, do as you do, and walk as you walk on this earth to the praise and honor of your holy name. May we manifest you to our generation. Thank you that your children are healed, that babies come, that marriages come, that jobs come, that answers come, that favor and influence are your children's bread. We thank you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Shalom and blessed morning.